Welcome back to the latest episode of the CGA Tour Podcast. As always, here I'm your host, Calvin Glenn Alexander. And on tonight's episode of the podcast, I'm joined by fellow college alum and good friend, but definitely a big college basketball fan, Alexi Woolworth. Alexi, how's it going?
Great, as always, and happy to be here to talk about Oklahoma State, get this program turned around, and of course, the NCAA tournament. The bracket is out, and madness officially underway starting tomorrow, but mostly on Thursday, with it being the first day of the tournament. So, looking forward to it. Can't wait to talk about all the basketball stuff that we bring up today.
Yeah, that should be great. I do want to say here, I think on the record, the whole state of Oklahoma is not playing in March. Is that, are we clear on that? OU, ORU, OU, Oklahoma State, and Tulsa. I don't think any of those four schools are in, and I don't think anyone else is about to qualify.
I think you're spot on about it. And I don't know if there is something out there where we could find it. I don't know. I can maybe try to do it while you're talking, or maybe you vice versa. Maybe find something that tells us the last time we did not see a team from Oklahoma in the NCAA tournament. Because I feel like with it being Oral Roberts and Tulsa, I mean, Tulsa hasn't made it in a while, but Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, for the most part, usually make it every year or every other year. So yeah, it would be interesting to find that out.
That'd be good. I think we'd probably be one of the few states. I don't think Hawaii also made it just as a state, or Alaska as a state, you know, either, but group yourself in with those. Kind of a bad thing when it comes to sports. But anyways, that being said here, so we'll talk a little bit about March Madness here at the end, but starting out, I want to ask you about Oklahoma State basketball. Of course, on Thursday, I mean, basically right after the season ends for Oklahoma State basketball, it's announced that Coach Mike Boynton will not be returning to the program and has been let go. And did a whole podcast with my dad about that one last week. Point being, not too excited about the actual necessarily him losing his job. Great guy. But overall, what do you think happens next for Oklahoma State basketball? I mean, as far as like recruiting, head coaching, where do you think they go as a program?
Yeah, this has to be a home run hire. I texted it to you last week when we heard the news of Boynton being released of his duties as head coach of the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Appreciate everything he did. He had a lot of hard times with us, but I think it was the right move. Just didn't think he was getting it done on the court. But this has to be a home run hire for this program. I mean, we're going back to Boynton, 1 year of Underwood, and then the Travis Ford years. And I think we can be honest, it just hasn't been good. It hasn't been Oklahoma State program basketball level. And we need to get back to that track of consistently making the tournament, bringing in high-level recruits, and just a coach who can get us there year in, year out. We have to be on the same level as a Texas Tech and Iowa State. So, yeah, this has to be a home run hire. They need to be doing their research big time. You know, looking at coaches, I know you want to hire a guy with good character, but at the end of the day, you do have to look at somebody who knows how to win. And I think that's got to be the top of the list. Who can come in here, turn this program around, and pull out wins for this program?
Well, I think I know what you're getting at there on the type of good background and definitely good meaning. I don't think Oklahoma State's going to go out and hire, granted, anyone too far down the list. But with that being said, the guys that are the Will Wade's of the world took his team, McNeese State, to, I believe, or maybe just McNeese, excuse me, just March Madness here. They got 30 wins on the season after having less than 23 just a couple seasons ago, if not less than 23 losses last year. And, you know, I just want to ask you, where do you stand on him? Maybe coming to Oklahoma State and Stillwater, and a couple other coaching names that maybe you've heard of that you think would be a great fit?
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate the Will Wade opportunity that could come up for him. I know there's been a lot of things, you know, from the years at LSU, which got him fired and moved on to the McNeese State team and has done really well there. My thing is, I don't think he deserves to be I think he deserves another big time job. And I don't think he was the only coach doing the type of things he was. I think it's just sometimes it's just the nature of college sports. I think there's a lot of shady things that happen. Now that NIL is a thing, I think it's kind of taken away from that, but I wouldn't mind Will Wade. He has proven he can win, and look at him at LSU. He had some really talented teams there. And just the example of McNeese State, I mean, he completely turned that program around. I can't remember if he had, I think he was there last year. I don't know the exact timeline of when he got to McNeese State, but he has brought in some transfers who maybe didn't cut it at a Power Five school and now just dominated that conference this season. So I don't mind Will Wade. I think he deserves another opportunity, and I think he could be a pretty good fit at Oklahoma State because I think he's a really good recruiter. I think he's a really solid head coach too, and especially with X's and O's and has proven to win. So yeah, I don't hate that. But another name you mentioned, to bring up another name, a guy that I would also target, and I don't know if we can get him away because he might be comfortable here, but Darren DeVries, I don't know exactly how you pronounce his name, but from Drake, he's got a pretty solid track record. He was a longtime assistant at Creighton. I think he was there for like 17 or 18 years, maybe a little shorter, but he's just done everything well at Drake. He's a career record of 150-54. Current season record is 28-6. Oh, and by the way, if we can get him away from Drake, we can bring his son along with him. He is a leading scorer for Drake. He averages, I think, close to 20 points a game, total game changer, can get to the basket, can hit shots from anywhere. I think this would be a pretty awesome hire too. It just feels like it could be a good fit with this program. So, yeah, Will Wade, if not him, I think Darren DeVries would be a great fit at Oklahoma State, and I think he could turn this program around.
Gotcha. Well, there's one other guy here who I just want to throw out who's actually been kind of in and around the Oklahoma State program before, and that's Stephen Gentry, associate coach at Gonzaga. We know Mark Few and Gonzaga Bulldogs really just compete every single year, it seems like, with, excuse me, honestly, not a ton of guys on the roster, but what do you think about him?
Yeah, I think that could be a good look too. Just from looking at some of the numbers here, I mean, that's a thing that you could really, you almost have to hit. You have to be really confident about the guy. Longtime assistants. I mean, usually we've seen it with Jerome Tang. Jerome Tang was a longtime assistant at Baylor. I feel like he's had some really good success with Kansas State in his first 2 years. So yeah, I mean, if you feel comfortable with a guy who's been around, you know, getting to know how, you know, especially with a good head coach, Mark Few, I mean, that's always in my opinion, sometimes it's a risk because he hasn't had that head coach opportunity, but I think it's a good look. I wouldn't mind it at all. Especially with, you know, being around a winning program. I think that usually helps a team or helps a guy like that to make some moves and eventually get to that point as a head coach.
Well, sounds great. The other thing that happened today in Oklahoma State basketball news is that we did have one of our guys enter the transfer portal. We had Brandon Garrison, McDonald's All-American. Just for the record, he was playing alongside Bryce Thompson, who another McDonald's All-American that Boynton recruited. But Thompson's really underwhelmed, I'd say. And Garrison showed flashes of really great play. But granted, this team still was 8 games under 500 to end out the season. And Garrison was not a huge help in winning the actual games. But with that being said, he entered the transfer portal. What do you think happens here with Oklahoma State roster? Do you think we basically are building from scratch, or do you think a couple guys stay on?
Yeah, I'd be surprised if we bring back the majority of our roster. I mean, with how the transfer portal works these days, and when a coach leaves, usually that's going to be a position for a player to leave. So, yeah, unfortunately, I think just the nature of how it is this day in the transfer portal and NIL, I'd be surprised if we brought back the majority of our team. Do I think we should keep some guys? Obviously I do, but that's another thing. It depends on who we bring in. If we bring in a coach like Will Wade, he might just want to completely revamp the team and bring guys with him from either McNeese or whoever's out there in the transfer portal. So I think that's another thing, is who the head coach is and kind of what their philosophy is with the transfer portal and recruiting. But I would be surprised if we brought back the majority, especially with Brandon Garrison leaving. I mean, he's an Oklahoma guy, right? Isn't he from Oklahoma?
Yeah, he is.
So that right there kind of tells me, if a guy like him who's from Oklahoma is already considering leaving the program, I don't think a lot of these other guys are going to stick around either. Some might go with Boynton and some might just find a totally new program itself. So yeah, I'd be surprised if we kept a lot of the guys.
Yeah, that's how I feel as well too. You know, he's from Del City. So right down the road in Oklahoma City, but I think he could also go south down to Norman or really into the Texas teams could recruit him away too. Depends on what happens with Boynton. So far, I've seen him tweet out that he basically has been recruited by, weirdly enough, the St. Louis Billikens, who former Oklahoma State head coach Travis Ford was the coach of until he got let go of that position. So that'd be kind of an odd line for them to all follow that same path. But, you know, if basically if one gets recruited somewhere else to be an associate or basically another head coach of another program, I could see some of these guys transferring to go with him in whatever capacity as well, just because he was the guy who initially recruited him. So why wouldn't they kind of stick with him or stick with the university they've been at for really, you know, I mean, these guys who are transfer portal-esque, they're with the program for like 6 to 9 months. Quick antidote here is that when talking with like Oklahoma State staff and, you know, other just members kind of the faculty and athletics, the main thing right now that I think is a huge difference from when you and I were in college is because it was before COVID, is that we didn't have the option for all of our classes to be online or a lot of our classes to be online. Whereas, you know, I think about, especially when I was able to work from home completely, that I could work from home, but my home could be wherever. And a lot of these guys are able to do the same thing where, you know, during the off season, they're able to go home for, you know, a whole weekend plus and kind of hang out there and still do their homework and not really be ingrained in the OSU culture and really just more or less get around campus and have a huge tie into campus instead of just a huge tie into wherever's going to pay them the most NIL money before they end up going to play basketball professionally. So with that being said here, I do totally agree. I think this roster could see a ton of turnover. The one thing I would hope is that basically like Javon Small, you know, all Big 12 honorary guard, I hope he stays. I hope another couple of these guys just end up staying because I think it's so hard to build from scratch. But then again, there's a reason when you're 12-20 and you're second to last in a conference, even if it is Big 12, it still is just not where you want to be at all. And it just means that a lot of these guys, either they just didn't have a ton of help or they just really weren't that good. And I think it's probably a mix of both. So see what the next coach brings in there as well, too. Well, the other thing I want to talk to you about, of course, is that March Madness, some people's favorite day of the entire year, some others really just, you know, enjoy it overall a lot as well, is Selection Sunday. And of course, this Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, the whole first weekend of March Madness. I want to talk about some matchups here. First, can I talk to you about the team left out that I think is most notable for Oklahoma State fans? That, of course, is not Oklahoma State, but that's actually OU and the Sooners. Talk about them real quick. Do you think that they deserve to be in the tournament over another team? And kind of, so I hate to put you on the spot here, but I kind of don't hate it that much because I'm going to give it to you anyways. Who do you think should be left out if OU is going to take their place?
Yeah, that's a great question. I do think they should have been in over Virginia. I did not think Virginia was worthy of a spot in the tournament. Looks like they are a last four team in. They will be playing Colorado State. I was surprised to see them make the tournament. I just was not impressed with this Virginia team all season long. They're a very inefficient offensive team, very good defensively, but they, to me, did not do enough. Just from looking at their net ranking, which the committee seems to really value. I mean, Virginia was 54th in the net ranking, and they only had 2 quad 1 wins. They went 8-3 in quad 2 wins. They didn't have any bad losses, but to me, they were in a pretty mediocre conference. I didn't think the ACC was a strong conference. I would say there was probably 3 good teams in it: Duke, North Carolina, I guess you could say Virginia or whoever else there. So yeah, I don't agree with Virginia being in. I do think that OU should have been over them. But I will say, I don't think OU did enough. And I think them being left out, I mean, that's kind of on them. If you look back from their last win against Oklahoma State back on February 10th, they played Oklahoma State in Norman, won that game. They had opportunities to pull off some nice wins after that. Well, they didn't. They ended up losing 6 of their last 8 games. 2 of those wins were against Oklahoma State on a last second shot in Stillwater in overtime. The other win was a 3-point win against Cincinnati in overtime. I just don't think they did enough. They lost a lot of games at the end. They had opportunities to pile up some wins in the Big 12. I think if they would have won maybe 1 or 2 of those games and maybe beat TCU in the Big 12 tournament, we're not talking about them today. We're talking about them being in the tournament. But I think they did it themselves. They just collapsed on the stretch. They didn't win enough games that they needed to. So I'm okay with it that they didn't make it, but I do think they should have been over Virginia.
Yeah. You know what? I'm okay they didn't make it because good riddance. They're leaving the Big 12 anyways. Screw them. But also good riddance because they beat us in Bedlam just a horrific fashion. I mean, Oklahoma State, that really just shot arrow right through my heart. That buzzer beater they hit, that was a three. And I'm honestly just saying good rinse because that was just a painful game for me as an Oklahoma State fan. But props to the guy who made the shot. Can't be mad about it in the day. All right, well, do you want to talk some March Madness here? So basically right now, we've got a bunch of different teams. You could take your pick of who you think the big upset is. Last year, we saw some tremendous upsets. We saw some twos lose to a 15. Arizona, shout out, I'm talking to you. And Purdue lose as well to a 16 seed. Zach Edey, where are you at this year? What are you doing? But I want to start out here with a couple other matchups just to talk about here to kind of get off the ground. 14 versus 3. We've got Samford versus KU. Seems like everyone's favorite. Not necessarily my favorite, but Samford Bulldogs. You got Bucky Barnes down there who's just really hyping up the team, excited. And oh, there's KU. They have basically the strength to go all the way throughout the entire tournament, or they lose in the first or second round and get upset. This is one of those where I say personally, KU's going to come back. They've got two guys who are basically come right off of being a 10-day rest time plus and be able to play just lights out basketball. Bill Self is not going to let him not do great. And Samford, how many guys are they facing that are like Hunter Dickinson? At the end of the day, the guy's a cheat code when he's on. When he's off, it's another story, but KU away from home, of course, has been another story this year too, comparatively, in that they've lost a lot of games and didn't win the Big 12 for the second year straight. So what do you like about this matchup? What do you dislike about this matchup when it comes down to KU and Samford?
Yeah, great matchup to talk about here, Calvin. I'm glad you brought this one up. I know I'm seeing a lot of love for Samford, and being a college basketball guy, I did watch Samford a couple times. They are a very good mid-major team who cannot be slept on. But, I've had my concerns with this Kansas team. I think the biggest question mark is how healthy will Dickinson and McCullough be? I think they'll play on Thursday or Friday, whatever the day is they play. I think they'll be back. I think that Bill Self kind of said, yeah, let's get them healthy. Who cares about the Big 12 tournament? We need to get healthy and make sure these guys are ready to go for the tournament. And I think when the public and a lot of people are saying, oh, watch out, this is not the Kansas team that everybody likes and thinks is good, and Samford, they're on high upset alert. I think these guys hear it, and I think Bill Self, being the coach he is, will have them ready for this game. So initially, I was kind of on that Samford bandwagon as a team who could potentially upset Kansas here. But yeah, the more I look into it, the more I do like Kansas in this game. I just think they're going to be too much for Samford. Samford might hang around for a little bit, but at the end of the day, I think Kansas does pull away. There's just too much talent on the Kansas team to lose first round. I don't think they're going to go deep. I think they could probably lose the second round game or maybe even the next one. But yeah, I think Kansas probably takes care of business here and beats Samford in this matchup.
All right. Well, going straight from that one to the other possible head coaching candidate, a matchup here is what, well, least I'm not sure what the transition was going to be, but I'm just saying that and going with it. We've got, of course, you just talked about him, Darian DeVries and his son, Tucker DeVries, versus Washington State and Drake. What do you think about this matchup here? Do you favor Drake or Washington State? No, it's a 7-10 matchup, so they might get squashed just right after this game, but still, that'd be one to talk about.
Yeah, I like Drake here. I think Drake is the pick I would make because of the experience they bring back from last year. So last year, they actually were one of my favorite upset picks in the first round. They played Miami and really had that game in the bag for the majority of it and then just collapsed at the end. Miami ended up coming back and winning the game in a close one. But Drake, this is, you know, a very experienced Drake team. I already talked about the son, who is a leading scorer, DeVries, who I think he, like I said, averages in the high teens, and he can make shots from pretty much anywhere. Yeah, I like this Drake team. Washington State is solid. They're out of the Pac-12, had some nice wins on their resume. But the more I look into this game, the more I do trust Drake in this 10-7 matchup. I think they'll be ready for this game. And I think it's actually a closer game for them too. If I'm not mistaken, I think this game's in Omaha. So Iowa, pretty close to Nebraska. And so I like the closer home seed here for Drake. So yeah, give me Drake. I think they pull off the upset.
All right. Well, now we got to ask you about a possible second round matchup here. I know I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but still just want to go into it a little bit here. You've got Oregon, who made it into the tournament by all ends and differences. Basically, they had to win their Pac-12 tournament, and they did. They pulled it out. And then, of course, you got number 3, Creighton, where, I mean, that's going to be one heck of a matchup download and inside from everything I've read. And Oregon could still keep the dance going. What do you think about this matchup here?
Yeah, Oregon can never be slept on because Dana Altman, the head coach at Oregon, just knows how to win. And the fact that this team, who wasn't even supposed to be in the tournament, went out and won the Pac-12, it was mediocre. It was down this year in the Pac-12 tournament, the Pac-12 overall. But still, what Dana Altman did to beat Arizona and then to eventually go on and beat Colorado in the finals of this tournament really speaks levels. And I think I saw something that said, like, Dana Altman, I don't know if for sure, this is just like something I think I heard earlier, was that he's never lost a first round matchup in the tournament. I might be wrong on that, but there's not many times this guy loses in the first round, and I'll take a coach like that all day. So yes, I'm kind of on board with you there with Oregon. South Carolina, I don't know. I still think there's some issues there. I do think they had a great season overall. Really nice season for Lamont Paris there, the head coach. But I think there are some things that we're not seeing that apparently they're like second or third in the luck rating. So a lot of things went their way this year. I think Oregon probably wins a close one, but yeah, that should be a fun matchup in the 11-6 seed there.
All right. Well, I also want to ask you about basically it's Colorado here. Colorado to me, they have maybe the second best player coming out of college this year for the NBA draft and Cody Williams. He's, of course, if you're a big Thunder fan, Jalen Williams, his younger brother, J-Dub's younger brother. So, well, I mean, what do you think about Colorado? Are they good? Are they bad? I know you were talking up back 12 a little bit, but they didn't get a lot of teams in the tournament. So what do you think about Colorado, and could they make a little bit of noise?
Yeah, this is really hard here because I was actually surprised Boise was a last four in. I thought they were actually deserving of a better seed and not having to play one of these games. So I actually kind of lean toward Boise State here to win this matchup. And I think they have the defense to stop Cody Williams. I know he is a top prospect in the draft for this coming season, and he's having a great season overall. But the way the way Boise State can play defense, I mean, if they can figure out how to stop Williams, I think they could absolutely win this game. Just from looking at some of the metrics here, they're 36th in the country in defensive efficiency, a really good defensive rebounding team, fifth in that area. And they defend the three-point line at a very high rate. They only allow 20. They rank 23rd in the country in three-point defense. So this is a really good defensive Boise State team, and a team who I think kind of comes into this game pissed off that they are playing in this game, and they're hearing all the chatter that they've never won an NCAA tournament game in the program history. So I kind of would be afraid to go against Boise for that reason. I think Boise would be the play, but I think this is a close game. Just depends on if they can afford to guard Cody Williams. But yeah, this should be a really fun matchup between two teams. Don't really have a lot to say about Colorado. I think they were just playing in a mediocre conference all season long.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we started out this segment talking about one school in Alabama. Now I want to ask for the other school in Alabama here. Alabama versus Charleston, 4 versus 13. Right now, the spread on it is favoring Alabama by 9, but never know here. What do you think about this matchup?
Yeah, here's the thing. In March Madness, sometimes you said it perfectly, because you have to throw out the spread sometimes and say, nothing matters. It's just a matchup here. Who knows who's favored? We all know who should win this game. 9.5, though, for a 4 seed. I mean, I think Alabama, if the books respected Bama more, I think they should be about a 13 to 14 point favorite here, in my opinion. But my biggest concern here is Alabama's defense. And I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why. I think College of Charleston absolutely has a chance to win this game. And if they don't win it, I think they can keep it super close. This College of Charleston team was there last year, so they've got some experience. They have a great head coach. They lost last year to San Diego State. So San Diego State, as we all know, made the finals last year. They lost by 6 points in the first round. That was actually a really close game all the way down the wire. But reasons why I think College of Charleston can absolutely upset Alabama here is Alabama does not play defense. And that is my biggest concern, and why I can't get behind taking this team in my bracket to make a run in any capacity. Here's what Alabama's defense has done over the last couple of games. I'm just going to throw out the numbers of points allowed. Okay. They gave up 102, 88, 105, 81, 88, 117. 93. Should I keep going? I mean, I think I've made my point enough. Horrible defensive team. They live and die by the three. If they're not making three pointers, I think this is a absolutely scary spot for the Crimson Tide. So College of Charleston is most likely going to be one of my favorite upset picks in the first round. I don't like this Alabama team at all if I didn't already get my point across.
No, I definitely hear you there on that one. I'm not going to be picking Alabama or Samford, it seems like. And the whole state of Alabama might be out before they even knew it. Except for, of course, you still got Auburn here. So the other 4-13 matchup that at least we'll talk about today, or at least for right now here, is Auburn versus Yale. I've heard a lot about, hey, Yale's great. All the pundits really like them. They like how smart they play, of course, using the Ivy League kind of connotations back and forth here and there. And, of course, you've got Bruce Pearl and those Auburn, whatever they are, War Eagles, on the other side of this year. Auburn's favored by 11.5. They're actually the biggest favorite here of any of the 4-13 matchups. To me, that's one where I go, okay, well, if you're the most favorite, then maybe there's a reason why. But is there any reason why not? Is there any reason why the pundits could be right on this one?
Man, this is tough. Auburn is actually a really, really good team. I was a little concerned about them at times this season, but if you look at their wins, this is actually the crazy thing. I think every single win this year has been by double digits. So if they lose, they lose, obviously. But when they're winning these games by like double digits for the most part. I think the only game they didn't win by double digits was against Mississippi State in the conference tournament, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, I think this Auburn team is legit. I think they've got a ton of talent, and they are one of the few teams who rank in the top 10 of offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. This is a really good, balanced team. Yeah, I think it's going to be really tough for Yale here to match up with Auburn. They might keep it close for a little bit, but I think Auburn is just too athletic and too much for them. I think they pull away. So yeah, Auburn, I feel pretty comfortable saying they'll win this game and maybe win it by a wide margin.
All right. Well, I also want to ask you about another matchup here as well, too. And that's the one that I think is the weirdest to me, is Long Beach State versus Arizona. The backstory on this, of course, everyone's going to know this by the time the game tips off. But just in case you don't already, backstory is Long Beach State's head coach was already gone at the end of the season, then goes on and wins the conference tournament to get him in. And Long Beach State, I just wanted to give you a fun fact, Alexi. Of all games and teams I've ever seen, I've seen Long Beach State play a whole basketball game about a year ago, a little less, before I moved out of LA. Went to see him because they're right down the street, and also because they play in a pyramid. So fun facts all around here for Long Beach State. But with that being said here, they are going to face off against number 2 Arizona, who last year, as a 2 seed, lost to a 15 seed. Will we see deja vu? Will this happen again? Or is Arizona just too good with Caleb Love, the North Carolina transfer, to even lose to Long Beach State or even think about it?
Yeah, I don't like this Arizona team. And I think last time we talked on the podcast, I mentioned that. So let me just get that out of the way. I don't think this Arizona team is good enough to make it to the Final Four and even win the championship. They should win this game. Usually teams who lose the year before as that high seed, like Purdue lost last year as a 1 seed, I think they'll bounce back. I think Arizona probably wins this game too. But yeah, I don't like this Arizona team. I haven't found anything special about them. I know the metrics seem to like them a lot, you know, the efficiency-wise, offense, defense. But this, as I keep saying, this was a very mediocre to bad Pac-12 conference this season. I just didn't think it was strong enough. And they lost like 5 games in the conference. They went 15-5 in conference play. And they lost to some pretty bad teams in this conference. For example, they lost to Oregon State, who finished 5-15 in the conference and 13-19 overall. Now, I know those are going to happen in a season, but still, you should be able to beat a team like Oregon State. They lost to Washington State, USC, and Oregon. I don't like this Arizona team, but yeah, what a funny story about the head coach at Long Beach State getting fired and then ended up winning the conference tournament. Here he is taking them to the NCAA tournament. Maybe they'll offer him a contract extension now.
That'd be just too funny to believe. And honestly, I think maybe another team should swoop in and try to go get him at that point. When he say good riddance, I'm taking my players with me, but who knows? That'd be too funny to have happen. The other one I want to ask about here, I guess, is we're kind of, you know, thinking of more matchups here, basically down the line, is you know, you just got a lot of different teams that could lose. But is there any 12-5 matchup? Is there the St. Mary's versus, I think, UAB? You know, what do you think about that matchup specifically? Talk about one more team that's based out of Alabama that I forgot about.
Yeah, San Diego, it looks like San Diego State is playing UAB. UAB ended up winning the American Conference. That was the only reason they were going to get in. I think that's actually a tough matchup for them to go up against San Diego State. San Diego State is just such a well-coached defensive team. UAB doesn't play a lot of defense. My only concern with San Diego State is sometimes they struggle to score, and they're very reliant on Ladie. Ladie is their best player. I think he's like a forward for them. Averages close to 20 points a game, but I think San Diego State should be okay there. I feel pretty comfortable with them winning that matchup as a five against the 12 with UAB. I'm just not really a high on UAB. One of my favorite 12-5 matchups though is, and I think it's getting a lot of attention and a lot of public, is James Madison against Wisconsin. Looking at James Madison here, so just to give a quick preview as to what they did this year. One, they had 30 wins this season. That's pretty damn impressive. I don't care what your schedule is. I know you play a lot of mediocre teams throughout the season, but still, winning 30 games is impressive in college basketball. So they've got that going for them. And also, at the beginning of the season, and I know this was a long time ago, but this team went into East Lansing and beat a top five team at the time, Michigan State, on their home floor. So they've played some of these big teams before. I think they can absolutely pull off the upset here against Wisconsin. I actually could see them making the Sweet 16. I think if they win this game, they would be in a pretty good position to get to 16 as well. So, yeah, give me James Madison as one of my favorite 5-12 upsets of the year.
All right. Well, is there any other, on that note here, any other big matchup kind of, hey, you know what, I really think this is going to be the team that pulls off a huge upset here as well that I'm glossing over and missing?
Let's see. I'm looking at it myself. I do. Here's one other thing I'll say about the 5-12 matchups. Usually we see these 12 seeds playing like the traditional power five seed. I kind of hate that Grand Canyon is playing St. Mary's out of the West Coast and McNeese State is playing Gonzaga out of the West Coast. Just wish that we would have seen like another power five type team playing here against the other. But another team that I want to shout out and that I've been very impressed with, and I don't think you can really even consider this an upset because they're favored in this game, is the 11 seed out of the Mountain West, the tournament champion, New Mexico Lobos. They are going up against the Clemson Tigers, and I think they are the better team. This New Mexico team is very talented. They have three guards who can score, Jonathan Dent, Mashburn, and House, Jalen House. This is a really, really good New Mexico team coached by Richard Pitino. That's Rick Pitino's son. And there's a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of talent with this team. They are very good offensively, 39th in the country in efficiency, 22nd in defense efficiency. I think that's kind of the under the radar thing, is they've been really good defensively and they don't turn the ball over a lot. That's something you also got to look at in these teams, is can they go without turning the ball over? They're 15th in the country at turning the ball over. I like that about them. They're a very scary team in my opinion, with on fire at this time. So yeah, New Mexico would be one of my other favorite upset teams to make a run in this tournament.
Gotcha. Well, on that note, making runs at the end of the day, who do you like in the Final Four here? Who do you think makes it? Have you looked at the bracket enough? I mean, I've already made one bracket. Granted, it's a day in. Probably make another couple this week. But who do you got for your Final Four?
Yeah, I'll go with it. So I haven't done an official bracket yet, but I'll definitely give my favorites at the moment of who I think gets there. So out of the East region, it's really hard for me to go against UConn. I think UConn is going to have a tough route there. I had it between them, Auburn, and Iowa State as teams coming out of that conference. But I just think UConn's too talented. I think they get through the East. So, and they're also going to be playing pretty close to home. They get to play in Brooklyn for the first two games and then in Boston for the second two. So there should be quite a bit of UConn fans. Probably 80% of that arena should be UConn. So UConn, I think, gets out of the East. They're just so well coached and a lot of experience from last season. So give me UConn out of there. Down in the West, I think this is probably one of the more open brackets, and I could see a long team making it. If it's not New Mexico, that's my dark horse here, but I'm going to take Baylor. I think Baylor out of the Big 12 makes the Final Four. I love their matchup. If it gets to a point where they play Arizona, even UNC, I think this is a very efficient offensive team. Their defense has been cracking down. I think Baylor makes it to the Final Four. So give me Baylor out of the West. Up in the Midwest, or no, South, excuse me. South, I'm sticking with Houston. I know Houston's coming off that 30-point loss to Iowa State. I'm not worried about it. It's fine. Houston's still the better team. Their defensive metrics are there. Really good three-guard play. Houston out of the South. And then down in the Midwest, my pick would be... I'm not trusting this Purdue team, okay? Until Matt Painter can prove me wrong, until Matt Painter can take a team to the Final Four, I will not be taking Purdue. So out of this conference, I think you could kind of also go a lot of different ways. Tennessee, another team I don't really trust. But yeah, if I had to take a team here out of the Midwest or out of the, what am I saying here? The Midwest. Yes. I'm sorry. I got lost here. Out of the Midwest, give me the Creighton, whatever they are. I don't even know their mascot right now. Blue Jays. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Creighton. I like Creighton here. Offensively, very good team. I do think Akron might give them a little bit of trouble in the first round, but I like Creighton a lot. I think they don't foul a lot. They're the best team in the country at allowing teams to get to the free throw line. So they play very efficient defense. Yeah, Creighton's my pick out of the final, out of the bracket there in the Midwest. Prove me wrong, Purdue and Tennessee.
All right. Well, with that being said, I have two differences than you do, at least in the first bracket I've made, where I have same in the East and same in the South. UConn and Houston, one seed's there. UConn running back with Dan Hurley. I mean, I can't pick him to not make it back there. In North Carolina and Texas are the two I have opposing you in the West and the Midwest here. What don't you like about North Carolina or don't you like about Texas? Talk me out of those picks here.
Yeah, North Carolina, as I've said a lot, I think they played in the a very mediocre to down ACC. This was a very weak conference this season. And just from looking at their schedule, I know they have a lot of talent coming back. You know, they've got a lot of experience in this tournament. But going over who they could potentially play in the second round, I think Mississippi State and Michigan State, the winner of that game. And I don't love either team, but I think one of those teams could give some troubles to North Carolina. Both teams are pretty solid defensively and I think could cause a pretty tough matchup. But overall, I just haven't been impressed with this North Carolina team. I don't know if it's just playing in a weaker conference overall this year and very reliant on their best player, who is RJ Davis, averages 21 points a game. I feel like if he has a bad game, it could be a long day for them. Yeah, they beat Duke this year, but I don't even think Duke's that good. They have some questionable losses in conference play, Georgia Tech, Clemson and Syracuse, so I'm not very high on. So yeah, they've got the experience, but I'm still a little lenient on this UNC team. I think a team like St. Mary's could even give them trouble if they play them with their defense, and Baylor especially too. So don't really love them. And then with Texas, I think you're onto something there. I've been talking about Texas all year. As you know, I do a lot of college basketball talk throughout with my Twitter spaces. And I've been saying just about every day that Texas plays, I'm like, they've got the talent. If they could just find some consistency and make a little run, they've got the guys. Max Asemus from Oral Roberts, if you don't know who he is for some reason, that guy took Oral Roberts to the Sweet 16 in 2021. Guy can just take over a game at any given time. They have a lot of talent. Dylan Dessou, Tyrese Hunter, Dylan Mitchell. This is a very, very good Texas team. If they can just find some consistency, I think that's actually a nice little dark horse pick. I like that look a lot, Calvin. I think they could have a good matchup with Tennessee in that second round.
Yeah, I'm always heavy Big 12 at the end of the day. Always going really hard in the Big 12 front, and that's usually the way that's worked out well, just because I think the Big 12 is a gauntlet, and a lot of these teams are tested where they can't take a night off necessarily, and that's what you got to be able to do in March Madness. So I also want to bring up here is that, you know, Houston, like you said, they lost by 30 in Big 12 championship to Iowa State. But Iowa State here, really, I think they kind of get a disservice. They're a two seed, but they're also one of the worst, you know, two seeds in the tournament, the way it matched up. So they have to face the number one overall seed in UConn. What do you think about Iowa State here? Is there any reason why they got this disrespect that should be warranted? Or is this kind of one of those things where they could be a sleeper and maybe even really match up, get to that 1-2 matchup against UConn in Elite Eight?
Personally, I thought Iowa State should have been the fourth number one seed. I really do. I think Iowa State, okay, I hear people saying they had a horrible non-conference schedule. I get it. Some teams don't schedule tough in the non-conference. And I think it is what it is, but they were still a really damn good team. Look, this team beat Houston twice. I think Houston's arguably the best team in college basketball. Yeah, Iowa State deserved more. I think Iowa State should have been the fourth number one seed over North Carolina just because of what they did in the Big 12, beating Houston twice. I think, yes, North Carolina probably played the better non-conference schedule. But if we're talking about a full list of everything and what this team did all year, I think Iowa State had a hell of a season and deserved that number one seed. And I don't think they deserve to be in the same region as UConn. I think they should have been in a different region. But hey, put them with North Carolina. How about that? Why didn't we put them with North Carolina in that 1-2 region and maybe see if they can play each other in the Elite Eight or something? So, yeah, I think Iowa State deserved a one, but I think they're fine. And as a 2 seed, I do expect them to go deep in this tournament. Love the coach there, TJ Otzelberger. What he's done is phenomenal. I just think they matched up too well with Houston. They're very familiar with this Houston team. As I said, third game they played this year. And the second best defense, in my opinion, behind Houston in all of college basketball. So, yeah, I like Iowa State a lot.
Yeah, I do too. I know that Iowa State in the past has not proven to be really the best tournament team. Overall, there's definitely some things where, hey, last year they only scored 41 points, I think it was, in their first game. And that's just really... It's not gonna be winning basketball. They did lose to 11 seed Pittsburgh last year in the first round. That's just a different team year over year. And also, like you said, Houston, incredibly good team. And the fact that Iowa State's beat them twice is really something to show. Well, there's another couple guys here that I do want to talk about and just kind of maybe even gloss over here about the tournament that are at least playing. Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky. He's also here, really, really high draft prospect. What do you think about Kentucky? How deep could they go in the tournament? Is there a chance that a guy like this, who big star on a team that's also blue blood, could just take him all the way?
Yeah, Kentucky is another one of those teams who I think has the talent and opportunity. I mean, they really could get to the Final Four. I do believe they have enough talent to do so. Again, though, what concerns me is that defense. I mean, seems like I'm saying this for a lot of these SEC teams this year. I don't know if it was just like firepower offense from all these teams, but I mean, just looking at Kentucky and their schedule, they were just giving up points left and right. Some games in the hundreds, some games in the high 90s. Defensive efficiency up at 123 in the country. Very good offensive team, but I don't know. I'm not as high on this Kentucky team as a lot of these other people are. And I think let me just say this too. I'm not saying there's going to be an upset here, but don't sleep on Oakland as a 14 seed. I watch a lot of small conference basketball. Oakland has a lot of talent on that team. They have a coach there who's been there for 40 years. So that's pretty cool to see that kind of loyalty this day in college basketball. But they have some talent, and the spread I think is like 11.5. I'm not mistaken. It's right around that number for what their favorite is, and that's a 3 seed. I think it should be if they're much better, I think they'd be a higher favorite. So yeah, not as high on this Kentucky team. I think their defense gives too many question marks, and seems like John Calipari is one of those coaches who, yeah, they won 1 year, but seems like they just have talent, but can never get over the hump as well. So not as high on Kentucky.
All right, gotcha. Well, the other team at least here I want to touch on that's got a really high draft prospect is a guy who's, we've seen him basically get NBA mock draft anywhere from 5 to 10 to even 15. That's Dalton Knecht out of Tennessee. They overall in the KenPom rankings are ranked 7th, but they are given a 2 seed. So technically that's the way it works. It fits in there because there's 4 number 2 seeds. But with that being said, Tennessee, I know we've touched on them a little bit. I keep hammering the SEC thing a little bit, but what do you think about them? Is there any chance that they kind of make any noise in this tournament at all, or they fall in line with the other SEC teams you've talked about?
Yeah, I think Auburn and Tennessee are probably my favorite SEC teams overall. My biggest concern, and it comes back to it, and you can't discard it, it's the coaching. Rick Barnes, just another coach who never can seem to get over the hump. And if he can't do it this year with this roster, I think there's just a lot of question marks. I mean, Dalton Knecht is incredible. I don't think Tennessee's had this good of a scorer the way he can do it in a long time. So I do like Tennessee. I think their defense is really solid. They're 3rd in the country in defensive efficiency. But I don't know if I can ever get there to put them in my Final Four because of Rick Barnes. And if it comes down to them in Texas, I think that's a tough matchup. I think them and Creighton would be a really good matchup if it got to that. And then if it comes to the highest seed, They'd have to play Purdue. I don't know. I don't know who I'd go with there. I think they actually have a pretty tough route to make it. So, yeah, I do like Tennessee, but I just have some concerns about actually getting over that hump and making it to the Final Four. So I don't feel comfortable enough putting them in that spot.
Gotcha. All right. Well, and just for anyone who's curious here, we already talked about Baylor. They have a fourth overall NBA mock draft guy from KOC and The Ringer. And we've already talked about UConn kind of extensively here. They have two guys who are drafted top six in the NBA mock drafted as well here by The Ringer and KOC. So we've already kind of been over a bunch of the other teams here. I already mentioned Cody Williams. Is Zach Edey kind of Zach Edey's of the world, or the Zach Edey guy here? I know he's so unique. He's over 7 feet tall, makes most of his free throws, is great. But as we saw last year, they're susceptible to the way they play basketball to end up losing to the a number 16 seed. Granted, I think every single year there's some crazy upset, some weird thing. But if I'm asking you point blank, you've got to pick the biggest upset possible. Is it just real easy to pick Purdue here to be upset? Because, listen, they play a certain brand of basketball, and if it doesn't work, it just doesn't work. Or is there another team I'm missing out on here where Arizona's, we've already talked about, or somebody else could really, they really are poised for the biggest upset?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's so hard to pick one of these because last year, I don't think anybody, I'd be shocked if somebody actually was in their right mind said Purdue is going to lose to a 16 seed Fairleigh Dickinson or Fair, whatever they are. That was just nuts. I did not see that coming. I don't think anybody did. You just don't expect that. So it's tough to make that one big upset. I do think Purdue will win. I don't think they're going to lose the first round again. I'd be shocked if they did it again. I just don't think they're going to be way more motivated. They know what happened last year. I think they ended up winning that game with ease. But if I could pick one major upset that no one's really talking about or something, yeah, let's just go off one big upset that I think just unpopular, because I think the ones I've already brought up are pretty popular itself. So how about let's do, because I saw something yesterday that said the last three Big Ten tournament champions have not made it past the round of 32. Whoa. So it was Purdue last year. It was Illinois the year before that. I believe they lost to Loyola in the second round. And then I think it was Purdue again. I don't remember exactly. Anyway, how about that? How about Morehead State? I'm going to call it right now. I'm not saying it super convincingly, but I don't like this Illinois team. I know they're playing really well right now. I'm also not a big Brett Underwood fan for reasons you all know. But how about Morehead State out of nowhere to upset the Illinois Illini in the first round of the tournament? Morehead State is out of the Ohio Valley. Hey, why not a little 14-3 upset in the first round that nobody sees coming? So give me Morehead State as my favorite biggest upset of the year.
All right, that'd be one heck of an upset. The KenPom rankings have Illinois as a 10 overall and have Morehead State as 100 plus. I think it's 111 if I had to be exact. So that'd be one heck of an upset, although as a Big 12 and Oklahoma State fan, I'd be rooting for it because don't want to see the Big 10 win, and also definitely don't want to see Brad Underwood win either. With that being said here, just kind of leave it out on this one. St. John's, they're the best team ranked on the KenPom rankings. They're 25th in the country. I know that's a guy that I at least think I heard about from you originally. How bad is it that, the St. John's team, granted, they only won 20 games, so it's not like they had 25 and this is a conference got disrespect from the Big East or something like that. But how big of a deal is it when teams like this, who are just really highly ranked, end up missing out on the tournament when basically every single team behind them ends up getting in? Colorado, Texas, Nebraska, Florida, Mississippi State. As far as these rankings go, I know it's person to person, but we're talking about a team that was 25th ranked overall.
Yeah, that's a great point you bring up. I mean, the Big East as a whole, I was surprised they only got three teams in. I mean, I don't think this was the strongest year for the Big East. They were very top heavy, obviously, with UConn and Marquette. Marquette's a hell of a team. And of course, Creighton. So those are three top 10 teams in the country. Honestly, I thought Seton Hall should have been in. Seton Hall, I know the net ranking wasn't as high as St. John's, but Seton Hall finished 13-7 in the Big East. I mean, the only bad team in this conference were Georgetown and DePaul. Besides that, I think it was all pretty even from Seton Hall all the way down to Butler. So I thought Seton Hall deserved to be in. If you look at what they did this year, they knocked off this UConn team. They were one of the few teams to knock off UConn. I'm also looking at the list here. They beat Providence, Marquette, Butler, St. John's by 15 at one point, beat St. John's twice, actually. They just lost that last game to them in the conference tournament, knocked off Villanova, who was a bubble-type team. I thought Seton Hall should have been in. I was very surprised to see them left out. St. John's, I think you could have made a case for them, too, being in the Big East in a solid conference. I think, if anything, though, I would have way more surprised to see Seton Hall not in the tournament.
Gotcha, yeah. I really am surprised when a guy like Rick Pitino and, you know, a big name, big kind of star team as well, too. St. John's is a team every single person in the NCAA has ever heard about is left out. It just kind of shocks me, especially when you just have other teams like Colorado State get in over them. You know, I mean, just teams that are not as big a name, not big as a blue blood, and also Mountain West Conference. I mean, seven other things I could say, excuse me, here about all the teams. But that's just one of those to me that's just fairly odd. Overall here. All right, well, I'm picking Houston right now to win it all. I could be persuaded out of it, but very, very last question, I promise here. Is there a reason why I should not pick Houston, or is it Houston or bust here as Big 12 fans and as the winners, at least of the Big 12 regular season?
I'm sticking to my guns as well. I think Houston's the best team. I think Houston losing to Iowa State by 30 is a total overreaction because, like I said, Iowa State just matches up so well with them. Third time playing each other, it's hard. You know, they lost by 30. It is what it is. But this Houston team came into the best conference in college basketball and took it by storm. They finished in first place. They crushed Kansas at home. They crushed all these other Big 12 teams, finishing 15-3, 30-4 overall. Great defense, great guard play, great coach. Yeah, I'm sticking to my guns with Houston here. Give me Houston as the tournament champion. They lost last year in the Sweet 16. I think they make it back to the Final Four, and this time they cut down the nets in Phoenix, I believe it is. Phoenix, Arizona. Give me Houston Cougars. I'm not talking you off anything. This is the best team in college basketball, the best defense. Yep, give me the Houston Cougars.
Yeah, that's how it feels well, too. I think this is the team to beat when it comes down to the end of the day. Houston. One, they've got one heck of a head coach, Kelvin Sampson. He's been around the block for a while, and this would be one heck of a good year for them to pull it out and win it, just because last year they made it pretty darn far. Who's to say this year they won't do the same thing, make it pretty darn far, and hopefully win it all. And I don't have a lot of trust in the other teams. UConn, it seems too much of a Cinderella thing for them to win it back-to-back. It just doesn't happen all that often. So I just think at the end of the day, we'll see Houston win. Hey.
One quick thing, they have the hardest path. I don't think I mentioned this, but let me just give you a quick background for maybe some of those who haven't looked deep into this bracket. All right. In a potential second round, they could be playing FAU, Florida Atlantic. That team made it to the Final Four last year. That could be a potential second round team. Sweet 16, either going to be San Diego State, who was the runner up last year, or Auburn, who is a great SEC team. They're SEC tournament champion. You also have in that bracket, Big Ten champion, tournament champion, Illinois. And Big 12 champion, tournament champion, Illinois or Iowa State. So very, very tough route for UConn. I think they're really good. I think they probably get there, but it's not going to be an easy path for UConn to make it back. And the committee did them no favors.
Yeah, that's definitely true. I mean, we see Houston and Iowa State have two incredibly hard paths to get all the way to the Final Four even, especially all the way to the championship. They just have a lot of teams they're not going to match up well against, and just a lot of teams that could give them a real, really a lot of trouble because they're tough teams to match up against too. They don't have an easy path, either of them. But you know what? In the day, usually the Big 12 does pretty good. Last year was a weird year. No group of five team made it in the national championship game. So, or only group of five teams, excuse me, made it. No power five teams, excuse me, I said the opposite way. Well, Alexi, with that being said, thanks so much for joining me on the latest episode of the CJ Tour podcast. We will be back here at some point to talk some MLB, some baseball here as it is March. So spring training's underway, almost wrapped up, and we've got MLB season starting here before too long. But that being said, Oklahoma State fans, get ready. We'll meet a head coach soon. At some point, got to happen before the season. So thanks again, Alexi, and we'll catch you guys again soon.
Thanks, Colin.